back together again, you and I, for four big hours, Tuesday, October 12th, 2021, on Connecticut Today. Great chat, funny guy, author, political humorist, Chad Prather. He was on to talk about his new book and his continued issues with the cancel culture. We checked in with Manchester J.I. columnist Chris Powell for his monthly go-round to chat about the continued problem of two Connecticuts, as well as the recent hearings on social media in D.C., featuring Connecticut senior U.S. Senator Richard Blumenthal. And finally in the show, to kick off the 5 o'clock hour, House Republican leader Vin Candelora of North Branford called in to respond to some critical comments by GOP State Rep. Ann Dufanese. New book out, Am I Crazy? I ask that of myself all the time. Am I Crazy? An Unapologetic Patriot Takes on the Insanity of Today's Woke World. Chad Prather is the guest. Hey, Chad, it's Paul here at WICC in Connecticut. How are you?
Hey, Paul, I'm doing great, man. It's good to be with you guys. How's everything in Connecticut? I hope it's cooler than it is here in Texas. Yeah,
no, what do you got in Texas right now? About 80, 85 degrees maybe, 90?
No,
what do you got?
Those are low numbers. We're rocking in the mid-90s.
Nice.
It's still rough. I don't know what's going on, but if I had any power whatsoever, we would get control of this weather stuff.
Yeah. Now is that 90? Chad? They say yeah, but it's a dry heat. Is it dry?
No, we don't have that.
You don't have.
No, we don't have anything dry here. No, it's complete humidity. It's insane. And the thing about it is, we'll get about 2 days of cool weather for fall, and then it'll be winter.
And then. Chad, you ask yourself, am I crazy? An Unapologetic Patriot Takes on the Insanity of Today's Woke World. Chad, are you crazy? I'll ask you that. Are you crazy, Chad?
Well, I think at this point in the game, everybody has to be a little bit on the insanity spectrum. Just looking at the headlines and the culture around us, today's world is absolutely crazy in the sense that the asylums are empty, man. It's running the street. It's rampant. We've given it a voice and a platform. So, you know, what I'm calling this book affectionately is my common sense guide to the end of the world, because it can't get any crazier and us still be able to survive this thing. So it's a humorous look at being able to look at just the wildness that's around us. And it's kind of hard to believe these days.
And, Chad, you know, I have a theory here. I've always said this. I think with social media and TV and news and commentary shows, you know, Chad, I have a theory that the middle 80% of this country, making up people on both sides of the aisle, Chad, I think those people are normal. They're fine. They get away. We get along with everybody. It's that 10%, Chad, like on each side of the spectrum, it's like, whoa, they're gobbling up all the air here.
You know, I always say that people just want to be left alone, by and large.
Yeah.
You know, let's go to work, make as much money as you could possibly make, hopefully keep as much of that money, and, you know, raise your kids without, you know, them going crazy, getting wild or getting indoctrinated in some craziness, and then retire one day, play with your grandkids on the front porch, right? That's where most of the world lives. I tell people, I say, you know, if I get on an airplane, I want to fly in the middle. I don't want to be out on the wings.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be out there. That's an uncomfortable ride. So I try to encourage people, let's come back to a meeting of the minds. But it seems as though the low percentage of people that are on the extremes are the ones whose voices are heard the most these days. And it's unfortunate because it takes us away from common sense.
And Chad, you know, again, you know, we all love social media. We use it. We use it here at the station. I know you use it in your career. But, you know, Chad, it tends to magnify the crazies sometime. I mean, look, when the founding fathers said freedom of speech, that's good. But I think they meant freedom of speech like among your drinking buddies somewhere. You know what I mean? Or the dinner table. Like Chad, like you and I can say stuff, and with the touch of a finger on a screen or a click of a mouse, it's all over the world, man. That's crazy.
Yeah, what social media has done is given everybody a sense of expertise and a sense of authority, because nobody's ever posted anything and been wrong, right? Everybody, what they say, their comments, they're not opinions. Suddenly everybody's an expert virologist or, a doctor's in political science. Everybody is a constitutionalist. and they speak with such authority, it's absolutely crazy. You know, last week when Facebook shut down for 7 or 8 hours, I actually went outside and saw people. Like, I saw human beings. I interacted with folks. It was an amazing concept. But no, it is. You know, I used to say, well, I still say it, but I had this idea years ago. I said, we used to put, you know, words on a wall, whether it was Egyptian hieroglyphics or cave drawings or whatever. And then we got to a point where we started saving certain things for posterity. But they were responsible, important people, you know, the priests and the prophets and the poets and the kings and the philosophers. These days, everybody has a voice and a platform, and we're putting everything on a digital wall. And it doesn't matter if they have the responsibility with what they're saying. They're just saying it. You know, I like to say we've always known a guy like Joe Biden wasn't the most intelligent guy in the world, but it's never stopped him in terms of confidence. Right. And that's kind of the way we are on social media. Like, we don't always know everything. And God forbid we ever admit that. We try to go out and be experts on everything. And it really creates quite a humorous, if you look at it that way, quite a humorous scenario culturally for all of us. Because we just don't know how to interact with each other anymore. Hence the reason for being, one, politically incorrect, two, be unapologetic, and three, let's really pursue common sense.
Chad Prather is the guest. Chad, hang on. Got to do a little business. We'll be back with you. More from political satirist, humorist, clear-thinking Chad Prather, author. He does live shows. We'll tell you about that and more. Coming up first, though, traffic and weather together right here. Trying to think clearly on WICC. Am I crazy? No, I'm not asking you. You already know that. You don't hear the voices in my head every day from 2 to 6, but I can tell you, yes, I am. Am I crazy? An unapologetic patriot takes on the insanity of today's woke world. The author does live shows, a humorist. You see him all over the place. Chad Prather continues here on WICC. Now, Chad, you're a Texas guy. You're unapologetic about that. I see you do appearances about Texas. To me, Chad, and I'm saying this in an admirational kind of way, there's the United States and then there's Texas. Or there's Texas and the rest of the United States. What is it that separates you guys to you guys and gals, you gotta be nice here. You kind of walk to your own drummer in Texas, don't you?
Yeah, that's the attitude. I always say that we have what I consider a humble arrogance. Here in Texas, you know, everything we consider a little bit larger, we walk a little bit taller, hold our heads up. There's certainly an element of pride, not always warranted, I will add, but it doesn't matter. We're very prideful of the state, and for numerous reasons, and well deserved. It's a sacred thing, you know. Years ago, I said to a friend of mine, I said, "You know, the funny thing about Texans, I said, I think we'd rather be Texans than Americans." And he said, "Don't push it, because you're not wrong." And so it really is kind of funny. People underestimate the size of Texas, right? It's such a huge, huge state. And I'm fortunate and blessed enough to be able to travel all over it. And I get to travel all over the U.S. Typically, I'm in about 35 states a year doing live shows. And, with all the shutdowns and things like that over the last 18 months, you know, a lot of my travels were limited to Texas. And it still felt like I was, gosh, you put a lot of miles on. Out there, it's a big, big place, but it's a beautiful state.
Somebody always mentions that a local radio friend of mine around here. He says, when you talk about Texas, you got to understand the size of Texas. He says to me once, he goes, the Dallas Metroplex is the entire Dallas Metroplex. He says is virtually like the same size of the state of Connecticut.
And that's right.
It is, man. So DF, you know, Dallas Metroplex is not a 10-minute ride across town, is what you're telling
no.
me.
No, it's not. So I live right in the heart of Fort Worth. And, my studio for the Chad Prather Show on Blaze TV, we're over in Irving, which is north Dallas. And then occasionally we'll have events over in Frisco, which is north of that. So it takes me about 2 hours to drive from my home to Frisco. Jeez. So it's quite a haul.
The whole woke thing, Chad, I am, I've been in this business for 30 years, did do some work at a college campus. And, Chad, I know we like to laugh about it, but... You know, I'm a little scared for the next generation because, look, life isn't easy. People in the past have done things that we may not consider good today. There are societal norms, Chad, that today that we didn't have back then and vice versa. But, man, you can't get offended, Chad Prather, at everything. You just can't. It doesn't set you up for the world well.
No, it's going to set you up for some extreme disappointment, because although your parents may have spoiled you, and you know, you graduated from college with a degree and undecided, the world is going to come at you, and it's going to require you to be very independent and very strong and very decisive in that regard. And what I've said is, we have lived such a blessed life in the United States of America as a free people with a free market and a great, you know, just spoiled, quite honestly, that I think that people define themselves by the pain they've been through in life. We haven't really been through a lot of persecution or oppression. And so now what we're doing is we're creating these oppressions and coming up with these micro offenses and micro aggressions that are defining us these days. And to say anything about it, you know, to even come at this modern messiah of wokeism is to be, you know, bigoted. It's to be labeled. It is to be, hate-filled or something of that nature. And so what happens is now, you know, folks like us who run our mouth for a living, we get labeled. And once we get labeled, we get categorized. We get put in a box. We get put on the shelf, and people choose to not deal with us anymore. And that is a very nice way of talking about what we've experienced these days called cancel culture, because, you know, Lord forbid you have a slip of the tongue, you know, or, you know, as I say, a slip of the lip gets you hung by the tongue, or you tie a knot with your tongue you can't untie with your teeth, you know, and they'll go back, you know, years and years, decades even now, and check your emails, as we saw with John Gruden here with the Oakland Raiders. And, you know, that one offense, or, you know, those things where you've put your foot in your mouth, quite honestly, can end careers and livelihoods and everything. So it's a pretty dangerous world we've created.
And Chad, finally, you know, for guys and gals like you that do kind of spoken word stuff in a live setting, guys like you modern day, and you see guys like, you know, Dave Chappelle and George Carlin and Lenny Bruce and, you know, other great comedians and wordsmiths, Richard Pryor, who I think was the greatest. How could they have survived? They couldn't exist today, Chad. They just couldn't. You can't, you know, you can't push the envelope. I mean, I'm sure that you can't go, as good as you are, to some colleges and say what you want to say.
Yeah, well, not without the consequences, that's for sure. We've done it over the years, and there's always consequences to it. You know, Eddie Murphy, to this day, he doesn't want to go out and do any more comedy specials, because he knows that you know, his brand of comedy is dead. You know, George Carlin and Lenny Bruce, I mean, they went to jail consistently for censorship issues for the jokes that they told. And I think that we dishonor their legacy, quite honestly, because there's two places where you should be able to make people feel uncomfortable. One is the pulpit, and another is the comedy stage. And both of those things have become something that I don't think they were ever designed to be in this day and age. Instead of getting laughs, now we're after applause. And so, you know, that's why I consider myself, as I say, unapologetic. I'm not going to go on an apology tour of things. Everybody said wrong things or done wrong things. Because if you apologize once, you apologize forever. So I tell people, I say, you come to one of my shows, I don't care if you're gay, straight, black, white, fat, skinny, male, female, I don't care what you are. We're going to make fun of you, because I'm going to make fun of me. And if I can make fun of me and be self-deprecating, certainly we can make fun of you too. And hopefully we can make you just uncomfortable enough to laugh at yourself and evoke a little bit of change and make you think, as well as make you have a good time. And I think the book does that as well. You know, it's again, it's a good toilet read. If you don't like it, you can tear the pages out and you can use that as a consumable. And you know, the shelves are already there. So it's a multi-purpose book. It really is.
A good toilet read, man. I wasn't ready for that. The name of the good toilet read, Am I Crazy? An Unapologetic Patriot Takes on the Insanity of Today's Woke World. And by the way, the website is watchchad.com. It's been a blast. Chad Prather, thank you so much, and good luck, sir, and we'll be in touch.
You bet. Thanks, Paul. Take care.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Watchchad.com. Let's welcome in Chris Powell. We check in with him about once a month or so for his annual take on what's going on around Connecticut. Chris, a columnist for the Manchester J.I., the former managing editor there. Chris Paul here again. How are you, sir?
Very good to be with you, Paul. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris, for the time. I appreciate it. Chris, I don't know whether you saw it, but this is something that doesn't happen too often. We had a statement issued about 40 minutes ago from the leaders of both caucuses, Republican and Democrat. They didn't name Ann Dufresne in it particularly, but it was some pretty good verbal barrage aimed at her. Not too often, Chris. You've been covering the state a little bit longer than I have. You can probably count, Chris, the times on one hand that four legislative leaders of the major chambers get together and issue a statement and be unified on something.
Yeah, it is unusual, Paul. But you know, I'm sorry. I'm really not impressed. I mean, this is something that a member of the minority party did by posting this intemperate remark on her Facebook page, and it has become the main story in Connecticut over the last few days. And it's trivial. It's meaningless. I mean, we've had shootings in the cities and stabbings and the usual mayhem, and nobody pays any attention to that. But an extreme member of the minority caucus says something on Facebook, which I don't follow her on Facebook. Do you follow her on Facebook?
No, I don't. No.
Says something on Facebook, and then, okay, this is the thing we have to care about in Connecticut this week, that, she was intemperate and, likened the governor to Hitler. Do people in Connecticut really need to be reminded that that's, an extreme and intemperate, statement?
Yeah.
Is that really the most important thing going on in the state this week? Well, apparently, a lot of people think it is, and even the legislative leadership thinks it is. God forbid that we should get them to, say something about the technical bankruptcy of the state or the state government's inability to manage itself because of its labor rules, or the failure of education throughout the state, the failure of welfare policy to elevate the poor over the last 50 years. No, we don't have any unanimity politically on that. We can't even talk about those issues. But here, one state representative makes a fool of herself on Facebook, maybe about the 20 millionth person who made a fool of herself on Facebook. And, that's what we've got to posture about this week.
And leaders, Chris, among the things that they can't unify on is something that you pointed out in your weekend column here for this past Saturday and Sunday. The two Connecticut's lament, and Chris, I always talk about it here on the show. And, I remember growing up, we lived in a rather affluent area of New Haven. Our family business, though, Chris, was in what they call the hill section of New Haven, down near the intersection of the highways. And that's where my grandparents grew up. But it was a very low income area. So I've been seeing the two Connecticut's since about the time I was 9 or 10 years old, a half century ago. And, Chris, nothing changes. Oh, yeah, there's an apartment building here or there. There's all these initiatives. But, Chris, we're going on like 50 years of this stuff, and nothing changes, as you pointed out.
Yeah, the thing that prompted me to write that column or really hop on my hobby horse about that issue, which I do too much, I know, was a series of conferences that the news service, the Connecticut Mirror, has been holding about the two Connecticut's. And it's so damn tedious to me. Probably the first conference I was invited to as a young reporter back around, I'm guessing, 68, 69, was a conference about in Hartford or West Hartford. It was about the concentration of poverty in our cities and, what could we do about it? Well, here, 50 years later, as you're saying, nothing has changed. And the problem is that the people who are prattling about the two Connecticut's are the same people who've pushed on us the labor and education and welfare policies that have failed to improve anything. And we don't question them about it. Nobody gets up in this state to say, why don't we audit these policies? They're not working. If urban poverty is just as concentrated as it was 50 years ago, aren't we doing something wrong? But, no, it's the same old stuff. Well, you got to raise spending on education, though that hasn't accomplished a damn thing and can never accomplish a damn thing until kids have parents again. They want us to have more social programs, but the more social programs we have, the more disadvantaged kids we have who need remediating. We never catch up. The education scores remain dismal, and they want us to do more of the same. Come on, folks, we need an audit. This stuff isn't working.
Yes, Chris, hang on. More with you. Fascinating stuff as usual. Chris Powell, columnist, former managing editor at the Journal Inquirer of Manchester. First, traffic and weather together right here on WICC. Yeah, Stamford's talking. They don't let me in Stamford, though. You know, Stamford, Greenwich, Wilton, Weston, Westport. They all say, no, you get out, get out, go back home. Chris Powell is with us for his monthly check-in. The second of one of his columns he wrote over the past few days actually was a column that came out today because of, Chris, what I thought was kind of a dog and pony show in D.C. last week. And, you know, the whistleblower, listen, God bless her, she had her concerns about the Facebook algorithm. No big surprise there. And Mr. Blumenthal got up there and did what he usually does. Chris, nothing's going to change here. I mean, unless the U.S. really cracks down, like some European countries have done, to try and crack down on these social media outlets, I don't think anything's going to change, Chris. Maybe I'm being too cynical, but what do you think?
Well, I hope nothing changes, Paul, because really what Senator Blumenthal and the consensus, I think, at his hearing was advocating was censorship. I mean, I don't think that Facebook is comparable to the tobacco industry, as the senator suggested. I mean, tobacco is an unhealthy consumer product that everybody for hundreds of years has known that was unhealthy. And so, you know, the government began regulating it. But, you know, Facebook's stock and trade is not a consumer product. It's free expression. It's free speech. And, you know, free expression and free speech are, you know, sometimes unpleasant. Sometimes they encourage bad things. But I'm sorry, we have a constitutional right to free expression and free speech, and you cannot give government the power to limit that, because it won't will never stop. You know, the problem here at that hearing, as Blumenthal was explaining, it was that some teenage girls get even more neurotic than teenage girls usually are when they use Facebook and read comments about themselves or get worried about their body image. Well, okay, you know, who gave the teenage girl her cell phone? Who gave her the internet access? Who didn't pay any attention to what she was doing on the internet? I mean, this is if there's a problem here, it's a problem of the lack of parenting. I think the fair solution here, if this is really a national crisis, that, you know, teenage girls are getting even more neurotic because of Facebook, well, make it a felony for teenage girls to use Facebook. I mean, make it an age requirement for people to be on the internet, that, you know, you can't use Facebook, you can't be on the internet, you can't use the telephone until you're 18. But you can't shut down speech just because some people learned something that made them feel bad by engaging in free speech.
Yeah, I mean, Chris, just about everything in society, whether it's alcohol or driving too fast or spending too much money on this and the other, you know, the vast majority of people, Chris, can handle things. Yes, we have people for whatever reason that can't. But you know what? If the dullards that are doing bad things on Facebook weren't doing them, the problem would not be on Facebook. It wouldn't be with Facebook. You're right. I mean, if we just relegated Facebook to and Twitter, you know, to cat videos and talking about the Yankees and the Red Sox, everything would be wonderful.
Well, I don't think we want the government controlling the content of our discourse. And yes, we're going to have to resign ourselves to some unpleasant things being said in public or some things that give people bad ideas. But that is That's the price of freedom, and this country has managed pretty well with that for a long time. I mean, the real political problem here is, Paul, that you know, we have negligent parents, and our elected officials can't talk back to them about their negligence. They have to blame everybody else. I mean, Senator Blumenthal at the hearing read a text message that he got from what he said was a father who was lamenting that his teenage daughter got psychological problems from reading about body appearance on Facebook. Well, The senator didn't have the nerve to tell the father, well, why aren't you paying attention to her use of her cell phone and the internet at age 14? Mm. No, he's got to blame Mark Zuckerberg. I mean, nobody can take responsibility anymore. We have to blame somebody else for what we're doing.
And on that note, I thank you, Chris Powell. His monthly check-in, read his stuff, folks, Manchester J.I. and syndicated throughout the state. Chris, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Paul.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye. There it is, folks. He lays it on the line for you. You may agree with him. You may not. But Chris has a talent of just pointing out, even in things that we think we understand, you know, what the real deal is. All four major state legislative leaders, the Democrat and legislative leaders in both the House and Senate, issuing a statement earlier today, about a few hours ago, regarding some controversial comments made by State Rep. Ann DuVernay regarding likening the governor, or at least some of his actions, to something that Adolf Hitler might have done. She has been, although not named here, the inference certainly is there. And one of the gentlemen who has signed on to that statement that I read you twice early today joins us, Republican State House Leader Vin Candelora of North Branford. Vin, it's Paul again here. Sir, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, good, Vin. I know it's been a busy day. Thank you for taking the time here for a few minutes. Vin, any reason that her name was not mentioned specifically?
Well, I think obviously over the last few days, her comments have brought the most attention to this issue and has certainly put the comparison of Hitler and Nazi on contemporary political issues to the forefront. And at this point, it's not just about what Representative Dauphiné did. It is a broader issue that we've seen over the last decade. I mean, I've seen plenty of individuals on Facebook calling elected officials Nazi or Hitler. Those references are made tour of Republicans. They were done with President Trump, and now we're seeing it with Governor Lamont. And our message is really just broadly for the whole populace of, you know, we need to take a step back and think about what comparison we're actually making, what impact that has on people that were affected by the Holocaust, and also what the Holocaust really had represented. I mean, there were 75 million people that were killed in World War II. And making comparisons to these type of things, I think, is disrespectful to that event.
And Vin, I have said over the past few days on this program, and I know other hosts have said this too, look, you can find someone who, and they'll probably be in their 80s or 90s now, who may have thankfully escaped Nazi Germany or fascist Italy, and I'm sure that you can ask them, hey, is living in the United States, no matter what's going on politically, Vin, is that like anything you saw Governor Lamont or President Trump do? And you know they're going to say no, and any comparison to that is ridiculous.
It is, and it's just not—it's not where we should be bringing the dialogue. I mean, certainly, I'm not in favor of these vaccine mandates. I don't believe we're in a state of emergency. The power shouldn't have been extended through February, and we should be having a discussion about that, not a discussion about the appropriateness of comparisons that are being made. My grandfather had served in World War II, and that's the extent I know of it. I mean, it was such a traumatic experience for him that he never spoke to the family about what he went through. So for me, it just touches a chord. You know, I understand how people could feel that it would be offensive. And I wish that people would think twice before they throw around those names and compare them to another individual. I mean, Hitler was one of the most evil people to walk the face of the earth. And I think using his name to compare to anybody, let alone public officials, is just not appropriate.
Republican State House House Minority Leader Vin Candelora is the guest. Vin, what did you hear from any constituents or voters around the state that may have contacted your office? Did you get a big response on this?
Well, I mean, generally I'm hearing from people, they were very upset with the comments. They're happy that I stood up because, you know, Republicans don't want to be branded with that image. But the other piece that we can't lose sight of, it's not to say that Republicans don't support Representative Dauphiné in her quest to peel back some of these mandates and remove the governor's executive power, which we don't think, you know, Republicans across the board voted unanimously that he should not be granted an extension of this extraordinary power. And I think those are the issues that we really need to focus on. And so while we have this sort of speed bump trying to address this issue, and I hope some good comes out of it, Republicans are still 100% united behind the underlying issue that these executive orders should come to an end and we should start transitioning out of COVID. Government is the only business that is still completely shut down as if it was March of 2020. Everything else is reopened.
Vin, remember the days when we didn't have social media and everybody used fax machines? maybe we should go back to that.
It made life a lot easier, I will say.
It certainly did, Vin, didn't it? State House Minority Leader Republican Vin Candelora, North Brantford. Vin, thanks for taking the time to straighten this out with us. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care.
Appreciate it. Maybe that's what we need, folks. Let's go back to fax machines. Let's get rid of political candidates and office holders who have social media accounts. Man, remember that? Remember the first time you saw a fax machine? Wait a minute, it's coming out. Remember that? What is that? Well, it's look. Oh wait, there's a piece of paper coming out. Wow, look at that! I got a copy of the contract here. Yes, we don't have to mail things anymore. Oh, remember that? Remember the magic that was a fax machine? I worked for a now defunct radio syndicator. Oh. 1984-85, and I used to, on a regular basis, have to send a couple of radio stations, you know, a printed script for a report. I'm like, well, how are we going to do that? And one of the people there says, come here, I'll show you. And I had to go down to the other end of the building because we only had one. I said, where are we going? Well, it's a special machine that... That what am I going to do? I'll show you. You're going to stick the script in the machine. It's going to come out the other end. And if you get a little indicator light, it's going to be, oh, then, hey, that means they got a copy. Man, maybe we should go back to those days. Dial telephones, fax machines, cell phones the size of, you know, a briefcase. Then maybe everybody should calm down. So hopefully that puts to rest, we would think. But State Rep. Dauphinais may have another thing on her mind. But again, here is the brief statement that our last guest, Vin Candelora, signed on to. He signed on to it, along with fellow Republican Kevin Kelly and two Democrats, Marty Looney of New Haven and Matt Ritter of Hartford. Says here, leaders of all four caucuses of the Connecticut General Assembly condemn the recent rise and use of Holocaust imagery and analogies, along with the references to Adolf Hitler and the Nazi regime in community and political discussions, including current mask vaccine mandates. Such linkage trivializes the extent of crimes against humanity, diminishes the suffering of survivors, and offends those who understand the profound evil that Hitler and the Nazis represented. There is simply no comparison between contemporary political issues and the actions of Hitler and his accomplices, who were responsible for the murders of over 6 million Jews and millions of other victims. Our caucuses stand strong against these references becoming normalized in our politics and our communities.